Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. GFB, go Browns!
That's right.
That's right. All right, we're back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Joe Juravicious, Matt Wilhelm. Let's go to Al in North Carolina now. Al, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I want to call my shot.
All right.
And before I send a comment, too, before I say that, I said thanks for keeping guys like me in North Carolina well-informed on what's going on with the Browns.
You're welcome. We love that the dog pound's rocking in North Carolina. Are you going to come when we go to Charlotte later this year?
I'll be there.
And, all right, good.
Hey, listen, Matt and Joe, since you guys have come on the show, your player perspective is very enlightening. I appreciate that. And as far as my shot, listen, this weekend we're at home. It'll be loud. The dog pound will bring it. And Mr. Derek Carr won't hear crap. Neither will his offense. And Browns win 30-17.
I like it. 30-17.
And my comment is to all these negative Browns fans out there, guys, quit being so negative and throwing Brian Hoyer under the bus after just one bad offensive game.
Tell him.
Let's remember where Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady were not that long ago.
Thank you.
And a little recent history, who was under center in that 31-10 trouncing of the Steelers?
That would be Brian Hoyer.
Who was under center in the greatest road comeback in NFL history? That's all I have to say, guys.
There you go.
Come on, Browns fans. Be more positive, guys. Come on.
I like that. That's because you're living the good life in North Carolina.
Right.
You got the sun. You're happy. Everybody's happy.
He's on the 17th hole right now.
He's playing one of those mountain golf courses that Tiger Woods like built down there in North Carolina. I like Al. I like that perspective. I want to ask you guys about this, though, to kind of get into it. I don't know if you recall when you guys went through the draft process, but Derek Carr was a guy that it was very strongly linked to the Browns for a while. There were a lot of people kind of saying the Browns are going to take Derek Carr. And then the Browns obviously took Johnny Manziel while Carr was still on the board. Blake Bortles was taken before the Browns had an opportunity, so there was no ill will there. But does Derek Carr come into this game? Is there a little extra chip on your shoulder when you know you were passed over for a guy at the same position in this draft?
I would say, just off the top of my head, no. And I think that Derek Carr might feel like he's in a great situation. And I know a lot of people might think, going to Oakland is like the curse of death. But, you know, being from, you know, going to Fresno State and being a Cali kid, you know, a NorCal kid, he's probably extremely happy. And, to not have to cross country and to be able to have his fans and his parents and family attend most of his football games. And for him personally, maybe a lot like why Johnny would want to come here, but the resurgence of the Oakland football team. You know, so Derek Carr is the next guy in line who could essentially bring back the Raiders to where a lot of people thought they were or should be.
We think that could happen.
We think, yeah. You know,
but this is what's interesting.
Complete speculation.
You know, Blake Bortles, Florida guy, college, Jacksonville picks him, sells some tickets, right? You know,
yep.
Carr, California guy, Oakland takes him. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, Cleveland gets him. Listen, it's yet to be written. But my point is, I don't think this guy goes into a game. I don't think Carr goes into this game with any pressure. I think this guy goes in there like, I'm going to do everything I can to get my first win. Like, it's almost like you're not expected to win, so you could do everything you can do to win. You know, like you can,
absolutely
you can
play
take
free
it to the extra level. Like, there's there's nothing to worry about. You're not going to be benched. You're not, you know, you're not Brian Hoyer, where you know the media is on him right now. Some fans are on him, and you've got a guy that's sitting on the bench right now that many want to see. So there's no pressure like that. You know you're the guy there for a while, and we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. You know you're the guy. He is the guy. 8 touchdowns in his first 5 NFL starts. That's an NFL record. No rookie has ever done that before. Derek Carr did it this year. Dino the Trucker, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Doing?
Good. How are you
how
doing?
Doing, dude? I'm doing fine. Hey, I wanted to make one observation. You know, like last week was just one game. You know, and a lot of people already threw a lot of people under the bus, especially Hoyer. You know, when you don't have the center that was with that team for so many years, it was the glue of the offensive line. I mean, I'm just watching it at home, and you could tell that the line nobody was in sync. You could just see it, nobody was in sync. So, I mean, you got to take everything into consideration. The football is a team sport, and when all the ingredients work together, they usually come up with wins. So as long as they get their offensive line in sync, create holes for the running backs, give Hoyer time to throw the ball, we're going to kill these guys. I mean, we got a great team. It's just that we just have one little bump in the road. And as long as the Browns fans realize that, there should never be a problem because this team is not like how it was in the teams the years before. There's something special about this team. And to throw a guy like Johnny Manziel in, and nothing against the kid, because I'm sure he's going to be a great quarterback one day, he just isn't ready yet. So if you put somebody like him in here now, you're going to have a kid running around in the backfield creating more running backs or more blockers getting hurt, or you're going to have more wide receivers getting hurt. And it's not a healthy environment for something like that.
Well, listen, it's Brian Hoyer's team right now, and Brian Hoyer is going to be the guy under center. I think I'd be surprised at this point if there is even a play for Johnny Manziel on Sunday. I think Brian Hoyer is going to play the whole game. I think as long as it goes the way that Dino thinks it will, and we all think it will on Sunday, it's going to be Brian Hoyer's team for the foreseeable future. But this thing about the center, and yes, you lose Alex Mack. It is a big deal. He may be the best player on this team. He may be the best center in the NFL, and he was an absolute perfect fit for his own scheme. Every team's got injuries. You got to find a way to step up. The Steelers lost Pouncey for stretches last year. You got to find ways to step up, and everybody's got to figure out and kind of rally around. And maybe this is the week Nick McDonald gets in there, and he's got some good movement skills from the center position. But that excuse to me will only go so far in the NFL because everybody's got injuries. Everybody's dealing with something.
It's sure. The National Football League. Injuries happen, man.
But, yeah.
You know, we're talking about the offensive line right here. And, Matt, you go up against these guys. You know, you're more in the trenches than I've ever been, except when I had to come down tight and help tandem block or something. But, you know, my question to you is, have you ever seen a group in an NFL locker room more cohesive or a little any more tight than what you would see in offensive line? You know, I'm going to go to this, and then, Matt, I'm going to turn it over to you. I don't think there's a group that spends more time together in that it's probably more harsh on each other than an offensive line room because those guys have this goofy way of doing things. Like, you know, they're big, ugly, gross, tough guys.
They drink beer.
They drink
and,
beer.
Know, yeah.
Like, I just don't see these guys being a group of guys that are going to go in there and say, oh, we lost Alex. I mean, we're just going to wave the white flag.
And
I see these guys going in there doing the little things, doing the extra, spending the extra time, getting their chops busted within that meeting room to make them better.
You're right about that. And just to wrap this up, is they're also the biggest group, you know, on the team because a lot of teams carry, you know, 7, 8, 9 offensive linemen, so they have to be cohesive. Coaches want to figure out the best group that give them a chance to win. And you're absolutely right. When I was in San Diego, I mean, the offensive line would eat and get fat and drink together and play cards together and hang together. And that's the type of, you know, the
drink and get fat.
Yeah,
it's kind of like we do in here.
Exactly.
But that's just and again, it made for a cohesive unit. And I think lastly is just, you know, Jacksonville themselves played a great game with or with Alex Mack. They dominated us up front.
Yeah, I think we would have had a tough time no matter what. And I think Mike Pettine sensed that going into that game. All right, when we come back, Mike Wagaman from Silver and Black Illustrated will give us the Raiders' perspective as they head to First Energy Stadium to take on the Browns 425 this Sunday. Losers of 12 straight. Hopefully it'll be lucky number 13 on Sunday. We'll be back. Places.